Blog Talk Radio.
Frank, you ready? Yeah, run that back.
Alright, here we go.
Oh no. It's been a while since I've been up in the booth. Feels good. Feels like 98.com. Fake Rob, delay up in NYC, I see you, dog. Plug locked up. I got you, though. Free plug. Had to do it to him. Swipe a boy, take notes. Class about to start. Finally, got on a track with Bobby. We chilling in the penthouse while the haters in the lobby. 22 and already on a website supposed to dismaze, but it just don't feel right. Let's take a second, take some time to appreciate the boy that led Tennessee to that elite eight, but it's still sad to stop and think about though. We'd have cut the nets down if Austin made his free throw, but that was back then. Yeah, it's in the past. Me and Maze up on this beat, taking names and kicking ass. We flying by you like a Tyler Bray pass. Ball's finna be on top, you ain't even gotta ask. We scoring all day in that checkerboard grass, make Alshon Jeffrey look like he pumping gas. B&B ham, man, not even somewhat. Your team look as ugly as Muschamp's butt cut. Don't get me started on that loser Mark Rick yet. He looks just like Kellen Hunt in a headset. This has been a pleasure, yeah, man, it's been great. Shout out to B Maze and feels like 98. What?
What?
You know, I was really excited to get this podcast jumping off today. It's Fake Rob Lewis. Feels like 98, 9 p.m. God's time. because the megawatt legend Trent Flubs has gone back on his word, apparently, and has not rejoined Twitter. And I reflect and just remember how bright his star used to shine on that platform, whether it was PETA, any kind of religious debate, political debate, sports, very well-versed Twitterer. I thought bringing him back to the podcast would excite some people. And so I've kind of been pumping it on social networks today. And I knew people would be more excited to see, to hear from Coach Donnie Tindall. Should be coming up in 5-10 minutes. But I thought it would also be met with some enthusiasm for Trent Flubs. And as we start our show today, and I go to my Twitter notifications, I did tweet, if you want to hear from Flubs, it appears this will be your only chance. I did get a reply, a very quick reply that says, I don't. And then I asked this young gentleman to expand a bit. And he says, I've enjoyed a quieter timeline with his croc-wearing ass off of Twitter. So I feel like that's a pretty good lead-in. Trent Flubs, do you still wear Crocs?
No, I don't know that I ever did.
Well, I don't know. We could say never. We should never say never, as the phrase says. I believe I've seen Crocs on your feet. I mean, not the ones with holes in them or whatever. But, you know, they tried to go trendy, and a couple people picked up on them. I mean, not Fake Rob, not your boy, but I think Flubs, I think I might have seen some pictures with Chubbies and some Crocs.
No, I have some Sanooks. I don't have any Crocs. But I did when they came out with the they attempted to come out with this like stylish Croc that had the look of like brown leather, and I did at one point own a pair of those.
Turns out they were plastic, right?
Yeah, they're rubber or whatever they. And about Twitter, I wonder if I can, do I still have time to save the account? Deactivated it the night of the Georgia game, and I have, from that date, I had 30 days, I think, to log back in order to keep the account from being deleted.
Well, you know, Don Reed left Twitter about a week ago. was going on a sabbatical because he got pumped back to Mesopotamia by Newmarket Mahler, if I recall correctly, and I do recall correctly. And I was able to wrangle his ass back to Twitter in about 72 hours. I haven't pressed you for it just because I know you're a man of principle, and I know some of the political back and forth kind of got you fired up. You obviously are steadfast in your beliefs, and you've come across some people who perhaps feel opposite of you, and maybe a breather was the best. But I mean, are we never getting Trent Flubs again? And I swear we're going to talk Tennessee and stuff here in a minute, but we got to talk priorities. I'm tiring of Twitter by myself. I've got to have I'm the Robin to your Batman, and I can't hang much longer.
I'll be back, and the only reason I know for sure that I'll be back is that I feel like I personally can make a difference and help sway the election in 2016, and I think it's that important.
Well, it is, and I assume you're still voting for Don Trump, assuming he gets the nod.
Yeah, Trump or Cruz. I'm fine with either one of those guys, Trump or Cruz. I'm fine with any of them against Hillary, but Trump or Cruz, those are my guys right there.
I do. Once we get into basketball season and we really start sucking, I do want to get into some political stuff. I think it could be funny. I did see a nice spreadsheet. I did analyze all their tax plans and stuff today, and I think I made my decision. I'm gonna hold off on that. Trent, before we get Donnie Tindall in here, the South Carolina fixture. Listen, and we've discussed it on Twitter. We've discussed it. I've seen it discussed on message boards. Discussed it with my father. I've called my pastor. I don't understand it. You go 5 minutes and you look like perhaps the best team on planet Earth. You look bigger, faster, stronger, better schematically. You check off every facet of the game. We're beating the hell out of them. And then it's like a switch was flipped, and it turned into like a Vanderbilt MTSU game. It was painful to watch. They looked like they were playing on a night like at the where did the Predators play? Bridgestone Arena. It looked like they were playing at Bridgestone Arena, and it looked like it was like 10 or 11 of us from Twitter against against some guys like some old stiffs from VolQuest or something. It was pathetic.
It was not an enjoyable game to watch. I think some of it probably due to the fact that South Carolina's boring. You know, that's not a great team to watch your team play against. But, you know, you're right. I mean, it's like we have explosive moments, but we will go from that to just long periods of just kind of droning on and on and, you know, kind of falling asleep at the wheel and it'll explode again. So maybe we're just more of a, you know, explosive team. I don't know, but that game sucked. I'm glad I don't have to watch that again.
The thing that really, really got me was if you peruse boards and social networks and, I mean, even listening to the Butch Jones postgame presser, you heard a lot of the defense stepped up and made a play when it was time to make a play. I mean, if we could put all the cards on the table and just be honest here, whoever that dude was who caught the ball and then proceeded to juke like three of our defenders out of their jock straps. Foreman got an arm in there. Congratulations. It was nice. But I think you, me, God, everyone knows they were going in for a score there. I mean, they were going to score a touchdown if that play didn't happen. I mean, we were not stopping them.
No. I mean, you know, just I can't give us credit for some great defensive stand there. We didn't play that good. We didn't play that good against Alabama either. You know, we didn't play that bad probably against South Carolina. It was just an ugly game, I thought, you know. I don't like either style of offense either team runs. But, you know, I obviously like the Vols, so I'm a Vol fan. But the game sucked. It was misery. The game Saturday is going to suck. I don't know why are we even going to watch that thing?
We've got Coach Till on the line, but I need a quick yes or no from you, and then we'll get into that. Are you Trent Flubs, big game Trent Flubs, going to watch the North Texas contest? Yes or no?
I'll probably watch it.
Interesting. We have Coach Donnie Tindall on the line. Coach, you there?
I am. How you doing, guys?
Good, Coach. Hello. Good, Coach. How are you, sir?
Good, good. Everything's great.
Excellent, excellent. Well, I want to go ahead and start off with the problem that I've seen on Twitter with our exhibition contest against Alabama Huntsville. And before I ask you this question, I realize that Coach Barnes is a guy that wants to get a shot off every 7 to 15 seconds offensive possessions. I believe he said post-game he wants to put up 30 tray balls a game. I think we ended up shooting 36. And I do understand that exhibition games, you tinker and you toy with lineups, and you try to find a five that works well, and you try to find a few guys off the bench that mesh well with those five. All that said, very, very pleased with shooting the ball well. Looks like we shot the basketball very well. Pretty good clip from three. But even an exhibition game in a team like Alabama Huntsville, who I'm told runs a very unique offense and is known for putting up some points, 83 points at home, that's got people pretty concerned, and I think a lot of it obviously is in the front court. Coach, what are Coach Barnes' options here for masking those holes?
Well, you know, obviously he's a great coach. It's won a million games, and it may take him some time, but he'll figure it out one way or another. And, you know, the biggest thing is, you know, and I'm not being critical of his roster whatsoever, but, you know, he's in a better place than I was when I took it over a year and a half
right.
ago, when I only had
right.
four returning players. But there's only so much you can do if you don't have a prototypical point guard and you don't have, you know, inside guys with some physicality and some girth. And, you know, it's what we ran into last year. I think our zone helped us win some games because defensively you can kind of hide some things against the inside guy by playing the zone, limiting their touches. We would trap the post when they did catch it in certain games against certain opponents. But, of course, when you do that, you're going to surrender some jump shots, and you kind of have to live with it. So it's going to be a matter of, you know, how he decides to play at the defensive end to figure it out and kind of hide those warts, if you will. Now, offensively, you know, we all have different philosophies. And, again, he's won a bunch of games, so who am I to disagree? But I'll say this, you can shoot it within 7 seconds if you have the better players of the two and you're at home. You start shooting within 7 seconds on the road or against teams that have better players than you, you know, you're going to end up with some really, really bad losses. And, you know, again, though, maybe he's willing to do that so that he can get the base of his team and the style and philosophy that he wants to have for future years. So he'll decide that, but shooting it quick, especially on the road against superior talent, that's going to be tough to do.
Coach, talk about Armani Moore. I think we all knew going into the year, high motor guy, literally leaves it all out there, just tremendous energy, plays bigger than he is. But it looks like he's, in the past couple of years, he's developed a little bit of an outside jumper. He went 4 of 6 from three and looks really confident, not scared to pull it from there. Is that something you expect to see this year? Is that jumper something that can stay consistent, or are you going to have some up and downs?
Well, you know, I think he's not a pure shooter, so he's still going to have some ups and downs. Although, you know, last year in practice, he shot the ball very well from behind the line, and there would be games that, you know, where he just seemed reluctant to shoot it, and I'd have to tell him, shoot the dang ball when you're open. But back to his toughness and competitiveness, you know, he's a guy that Josh was our best player, but Armani was our toughest guy. And not that Josh wasn't tough. He was second behind Armani. But Armani has great toughness. He's a really, really competitive kid. He's unselfish. Now, there's times he may look like he tries to do more than he can, but it's not from being selfish. It's simply from being competitive and wanting to win so badly. But, you know, he's a guy that's going to have great numbers. It'll be important for him to stay healthy because – he will play 34, 36 minutes a game on this team, and him being healthy and fresh as you get deeper into the season will be important. So I think he's going to have a great senior year. I'll be surprised if he can't make one of the all-SEC teams and surprise some people like Josh did a year ago.
Before we get into the regular season, I want to talk one more player with you, and it's a guy that he's kind of my pick to click this year, and a lot of it's based on what you were able to do with him last year when he was healthy, is Bachman. That guy, again, seems pretty fearless, not scared to shoot the basketball. I think he's going to have a big year. Talk a little bit about him.
Well, Devin's a great kid, first and foremost. He's very, very coachable. He loves to be in the gym working extra on his own. You know, again, he's a tough kid. He's competitive. You know, I can see him, I know in my mind coming back, he and Robert Hubbs were going to battle for that starting three position. Maybe you could play him at the two and Hubbs at the three so you can play him together. But, you know, I think, again, he's a guy coming out of junior college that was known as a scorer. You know, he had a couple 40-point games, maybe even a 50-point game or close to it. And when he gets it going, he's dangerous. You know, last year that shoulder did hamper him probably more than we let on. And but, again, he's a tough kid that wanted to play through it. I think he'll have a very solid, good senior season. I really do.
Coach, one more question about Tennessee. We talked last time about kind of media expectations and those preseason predictions that I think you and I both aren't big fans of. Well, what does that do to a team going into a year? Are these the type of players that are going to use that and kind of have a chip on their shoulder going into the year to prove those predictions wrong, or is that something that kind of you've got to kind of motivate them and say, hey, guys, you know, that's just outside noise. Who cares? Is that something that can get to them, or they typically not pay attention to that sort of thing?
Well, I think it kind of depends on how the coach delivers the message and then what type of makeup you have on your team. If you have a youthful team, they're probably looking around and saying, oh, boy, we must not be very good if they picked us 13th or 14th in the SEC like they did last year. But if you've got a veteran kind of grizzled group and a coach that's saying, hey, we don't care what anyone outside of this room thinks or says or believes, it's about what we believe and what we do, and it kind of make it a us against the world type mentality. And then you've got some veteran leadership like I had last year with Josh Richardson. Then I think you can certainly spin it in your favor and make it advantageous for you to go try to prove some people wrong. And, you know, last year we were picked 13th or 14th and ended up 10th. And I don't think anyone out there going in would have thought realistically we could have a 500 type team. But I think the mindset we took as a staff and the leadership that Josh Richardson provided helped us win some games we probably shouldn't have.
I'll be interested to see how they answer the bell without Josh. Somebody definitely needs to step up and be that team leader. I look for a guy like Armani, but that's just me. Coach, I want to switch to the NBA real quick. Jarnell Stokes heading to Miami to team up with Josh Richardson. You think that's a good move for him?
Well, you know, the bottom line is he's going to have to make it a good move. You know, when you look at Miami's team, and I could be a little off, but they've got Whiteside and they've got some long, kind of thin, athletic guys. And he's a little different from what I think most of their front line is made up of. So you'd like to think with his girth and physicality, he's a tough kid, that he's going to have a chance to maybe, you know, do something there in Miami. Now, with that being said, he's going to a very good team that has high expectations, and they've already kind of halfway established a little rotation. So he's going to have to scrap and claw to stay in the mix and get his opportunity. But, you know, I got to know Jarnell a little bit in my year at Tennessee and talked with him this summer when I was out in Vegas with the Raptors. And he's a good kid. He's got a great smile. You can tell people around him think a lot of him. I know he played in the D League last year a lot in Iowa for a good friend of mine, Matt Woodley, who was the assistant. And Matt just raved about, you know, how hard he worked and how coachable he was. And so he's got a chance. And then bottom line, he wasn't getting the minutes in Memphis. So now this hopefully is a fresh start and he can go make an impact in some way.
I think I have a theory that I was concerned. A bunch of my friends are obviously big Grizzlies fans, and they obviously love the pick. I think going back to your hometown can hurt you sometimes. Distractions, a lot of outside I hate to use the phrase, but outside clutter, a lot of stuff going on that kind of keeps your mind sometimes off of basketball. Perhaps a change of scenery to where, you know, down in Miami, hopefully, you know, all he focuses on is basketball, gets his body in a little better shape. Because I think you saw, especially that NCAA tournament run, how physically dominating and what kind of a presence he can be down low.
Well, you're exactly right. You know, the one thing that NBA guys would say is, you know, he's not quite explosive enough at 6'8" to finish around the rim. So he's a guy that's got to use his girth and his physicality to get some angles and score some balls that way. And Coach Woodley really thought he improved his 15 to 17 foot jump shot over last season. So he's a guy that's got a place, but again, it's going to have to be a niche, the right team, the right lineup, the right situation, and maybe Miami is exactly that. But I don't disagree with you at all of what you first said about going back home. You can just imagine the friends and the people and your family members that are pulling on you every day, whether it's for game tickets or $100 here or $50 here.
Sure.
Or, hey, can I get a ride over there? And all of a sudden,
sure,
your attention can be kind of put somewhere else that it shouldn't be. So getting away, not that I'm saying anything I know went wrong in Memphis, but getting away may be a good thing for Jarnell.
Coach, I know we're 8 games into the NBA season, but tell me, when's the last time you've seen a player like Steph Curry?
Oh, man, is he something? I'm telling
you,
when I was growing up, you know, it was guys like Isaiah Thomas and Tim Hardaway, guys at 6'6", 6'1", that could get it going and really score in bunches and had the ball on a string, and, you know, Kevin Johnson and Mark Price, those type of guys. And I'm telling you, I love those guys and all their game, and this kid may even be better. I mean, he can handle it. He's unselfish. Obviously one of the best shooters, if not the best shooter to ever play. But what I really think is cool, if you watch his teammates, whether it's you know, the kid from Michigan State, Green.
Tremont Green.
Whether it's some older guys, they all look like they love playing with them. They're always smiling.
Yep.
They're pointing at each other, acknowledging the pass. They're having fun. And I think if your best player is unselfish and a great teammate, which Steph Curry obviously is, it's contagious. You know, guys will rally behind a guy like that because it's fun, and they know, yes, Steph Curry's the man, and he gets all the accolades, and he gets most of the attention, but Steph Curry's a good dude, and we like him. So it's different than maybe some guys that have played with Kobe in the past when he was great and he was MVP, but guys didn't necessarily have fun playing with him. They're having fun with Steph Curry for sure.
I think you know, I hate those 10:30 tips, and I argue that he would be an even bigger star if he played on somewhere on the East Coast where everybody could watch him every night. But I was having a conversation with Twitter on somebody today, and he brought up a good point. You when you see a guy that can shoot the ball like that, usually he's kind of a one-trick pony, a guy that comes off the bench, gives you 12 to 16 solid minutes and just fills it up. But Curry does that on top of so many other things. He's always a threat to shoot the ball. Like you said, he distributes. He's got great players around him with Thompson and like you said, Tremont Green, Iguodala, Harrison Barnes having a really good start of his season. But he also defends. He doesn't take plays off on the other side of the floor. He just seems like a complete player. And I just hope he can stay healthy. We can see what he can turn out being. You mentioned Kobe. I do want to talk real quick before I let you go on Kobe Bryant. Obviously, pretty poor start to the season. I think he's even said he sucked. Do you see just kind of a farewell tour where he has a couple of vintage Kobe games scattered in between some I've seen air balls that I haven't seen from Kobe. I've seen bricks off the backboard I haven't seen from Kobe. Even the young guys, the D'Angelo Russell, Jordan Crawford, sometimes look disgusted when Kobe kind of takes the ball and isolates himself and sits over there. Is it something you think a guy like Kobe Bryant will figure out?
Well, you know, Kobe Bryant's going to do what Kobe Bryant wants to do. I think that he's a prideful enough guy that if he continues to play poorly, which he has to this point, then he may just call it a day and this will be his final season. But it's so hard for a guy as competitive as he is to say, hey, I got to go out on, I don't know, a bad note, but certainly not a high note. And so it'll be interesting. I look back at guys like Michael when he came back with the Wizards and he was having the knee tendonitis so bad, and Larry Bird as he was getting older and he had the back problems and couldn't hardly move, you know. And, you know, he's getting to that point. He's 37. He's been in the league since he was 18 years old. He's obviously played major minutes every year. And the injuries and the time on your legs, no matter how tough you are, they wear on you. And I think you're seeing that right now with him just not being the guy that could get his shot off any time and create space. Now he's having a hard time getting a good look. And those younger guys probably do get frustrated. But, you know, in a way, I'm kind of siding with Kobe, like, you know, hey, he's earned that. He's going to still try to do what he can do and win. And if it's not good enough, then at the end of the year, both the Lakers and Kobe will have to make a tough decision.
Yeah, yeah. Coach, we've got UNC Asheville tomorrow, college basketball tipping off at Georgia Tech a couple days later in Atlanta. Let's reconvene next Thursday, break those down. Let's talk college basketball overall. And then I need you to find me another small forward in Denver now that Wilson Chandler's out for the year. I tell you, one of my favorite players that just cannot stay healthy. But let's jump in next week, break down, see what Tennessee looks like, see what the landscape looks like overall.
Well, that sounds great, guys. You have a great weekend, and look forward to visiting with you next week.
Let's do it, Coach. Take care, sir.
Okay, bye-bye.
Coach Donnie Tindall, absolutely, without question, the highlight of our show. You guys can go ahead and turn it off now. Trent, I know you hate basketball, but as the host, I do feel it's my job to give you at least a few seconds if you wanted to comment on anything in particular that stood out to you.
I can just tell listening to you that your true passion is basketball. You're not a football fan.
No, I'm not. To explain myself, and I get ripped on Twitter a lot because of it, I love football. I love watching it. But I don't know anything about it. Like I played it for a little while, but you know, golf, basketball, baseball is what I played growing up. And so I really didn't have a lot of time for football. So all I knew is that we showed up. I went to Knoxville. I watched really good players beat other teams, and then I went home and then read about it in the Tennessean and yada yada yada. I just for some reason it's always caught my eye. It's something guys can be in trouble on the board. But, yeah, you know, 10, 15 years of studying the game. Love it. Absolutely love it. I love talking with a guy like Coach Tindall. And that's why if you can just listen to him, you know, as soon as he can get back in the game, that guy's going to be successful. That's why I was so excited to get him in Knoxville. The guy, he can adapt. He can run various kinds of offenses and defenses. I don't know that we're going to get that this year or next year with Rick Barnes. I hope to be proven wrong. I do think Coach Barnes is going to work out. It's not going to be this year. Probably won't be next year. But I do think he's got a staff that's really good around him that can recruit some ball players, and it may take a little while. But I do hold the theory that as long as football is on the up and up, then he can have. He probably gets all the time he wants. Are you going to watch the basketball? Will you watch a basketball game this year? Let's just go and get that out of the way.
No, I won't. I will likely not watch a single basketball game this year.
Good deal. Excellent. Okay.
Just being honest,
redneck
with you.
Sport. God, I'm such a redneck. Okay. North Texas. I'm gonna watch it. Probably. I think it's a. You know what? I think that game's a decent chance to get. You know, to see Dormady. I was talking earlier with the guy that I work out with, big Tennessee fan too. I'd love to see like Evan Berry on the offense somewhere at some point. I mean, listen, this is a team you're going to beat by 60 points if you keep the foot on the throttle. They're not – a D2 team put a 70 ball on them, I think. And, I mean, do you play Josh Dobbs? He's allegedly banged up. Do you play him?
I don't. I don't play Hurd. I don't play –
I absolutely don't play Hurd. I don't even know that I have Hurd run through the tee.
I don't play Kamara. I mean, I put that whatever his name is, John – Dingle or whatever his name is back there.
Yeah, I think it's John Dingle. I think you got it right. I think it's John Dingle. Yeah.
Whoever
you get
he is.
Dingle
back there. Yeah. Put him back there. You know, I don't think you can really do that in real life. I think you have to start your starters, you know, for a series or two. But, you know, I wouldn't play him much more than that. You know, it comes at a good time, too. The game really does come at a good time because
we've had a decent little
period here from Georgia, Alabama, South Carolina. Haven't looked that great, really. And I don't think Georgia is a great team, obviously, and I don't think South Carolina is a great team, but we won, and that's what matters. So now we are on track to finish with that 8-4 season, and I defy anybody to tell you that that's not progress. I mean, because it is. It's literal progress, and you can also observe the progress on the team.
No, I don't hate it. I want to see us get to 8. Listen, at Missouri, I don't care if they couldn't field a team and had to play all Caucasians. Like I would still be scared of them just because it's at Missouri. I mean, we haven't beaten them yet, and I don't. After seeing the South Carolina second, third, and fourth quarter, like that performance probably gets you beat there as bad as they are. Chalky Mock is still there. Things can happen. I do think it's such a fine line. If you win 7, I think it's a failure. I think the season's a failure if you win 7.
I don't disagree
Vanderbilt,
with that. We should win. We should win out, though.
Well, then, you know, and then you got to worry. I mean, Vanderbilt's got a good defense. I mean, I still think we beat them pretty handily, but, again, you put out a this poor performance, anything can happen.
Vanderbilt, there's no way, though. There's just no way you let them sneak up on you. I mean, it's Vanderbilt. Yeah, there's just no way. There's no way we lose to them.
You want to talk bowl game?
Yeah, I hope we go to the Liberty Bowl and the Music City Bowl. I don't care about any of the sport. I don't really care which ones are the better, quote-unquote, bowl games. I just want to go to one that's possible that I might attend, even though I probably won't anyway, but I would just rather see us play in one of those two, one of the in-state bowl games, I think.
Trent, would you go to Memphis, Tennessee?
I would go to Memphis only because my sister lives there.
Does she like live in Memphis or like in like Germantown?
No, man, she lives in the projects.
North end of Hyde Park. No. Nice. I like it.
No, but I would go to the Liberty Bowl, you know. I mean, I think that's where Lester Street lives. And, man, he was a cool guy at the tailgate. I really enjoyed hanging out with him and his little posse there. I'll go to Memphis. Hyde Park Swag lives there. Some of our posters live in Memphis. And, honestly, the Memphis posters are more loyal to the Vols than the Nashville area posters, in my opinion.
Why? What do you attribute that to?
The Titans. I mean, you know, Nashville people, they have way too many options. When the Titans are good, you know, they're not necessarily as loyal to the Vols as perhaps they should be. Whereas the Memphis people,
when the Titans are good. So like,
yeah, they suck.
Like late 90s, what are you talking about?
Right, exactly. But the Memphis people, they remind me of the Tri-Cities people. We're strong. We have great work ethic. And we're loyal to the core. And nothing's going to pull us away from the Vols. Not a professional team, not a country music hall of fame, not a concert, blah, blah, blah. We're all about the Vols.
That's a good point. You guys are loyal. You live how far do you live from Neyland, you say?
Probably 90 minutes.
And being a loyal Tri-Cities, just hardworking, blue-collar, just kind of a grinder. How many games have you attended?
I made it to the Oklahoma game this year.
And then, anyway, I want to play in the Outback Bowl. I want to play Michigan.
God, no. You're crazy.
Yeah.
You are crazy.
Why?
You don't want to play
them.
Who gives a shit?
At that point, it's a bowl game against a nice opponent. It would be fun to watch.
We want to go play like Army or Air Force or Tulane or somebody like that in a bowl game.
No. Why? There's nothing to gain from that. You lose to Air Force. It's awful. You lose to Michigan,
that's
you lost to Harbaugh. I mean, it's not the end of the world. You're in the Outback Bowl. They got to do the
I think the team gets to do that orange squeeze. That's a citrus bowl. They get to do some kind of pregame festivities. If you go to the Liberty Bowl, you just don't you stay in your hotel room until the game starts.
I think they have a blooming onion eating contest at the Outback Bowl.
And well,
you
okay.
know, you probably don't know what a blooming onion is since you're Mr. Fitness, but that is an appetizer.
I know what it is. I don't eat it. I don't put it in this temple.
Well, I don't eat them either. I don't eat carbs.
None. You don't eat any. You don't eat any. Trent, listen, your star is rapidly burning out. I call you Megawatt on Twitter still, and I used to get, like, favorites and retweets. No, what Strip Club's up to? Love that guy. I mean, everybody, all they want to talk about was Donnie Timberland. What? Your window's closing is all I'm saying. I don't know that you're getting up there in age. You've been able to reinvent yourself on, every message board that you've been banned from. You finally have a platform that will not ban you. You have people that will go back and forth with you in a fashion that you enjoy, and you're not, is it, what is the holdup?
You know, you say that they won't ban me. It's just funny because in the beginning when I was unfamiliar with Twitter, I kept getting banned from Twitter. Remember that? And it turns out that they will ban you if you tweet at people too many times if you don't follow them. And so I was tweeting a million tweets a day to just anybody. And eventually, I would get banned two or three. And I thought the people at Twitter were, like, watching me and disapproving of my content.
Who do you miss tweeting the most? What do you miss most about Twitter? Name some names. I mean, who cares about – let's. I mean, why are we talking? We're going to beat the shit out of North Texas. We can come back next week and talk about Missouri. Who do you – let's talk Twitter for a few minutes, and then I'm going to – I'm going to play video games like a grown-ass man. That's what I'm going to do. And if anybody wants to come get FIFA, or they want to get 2K'd, Gary Goldshot's the name. Headset ready. Go ahead. Who do you miss on Twitter? Like what? Surely you miss something. I mean, you have like 70,000 tweets in a very short period of time. Is it PETA? Is it feminists?
Yeah.
Who do you miss the most? Yeah.
I can't really say, Jerry, because it would be controversial. You know who it is. You texted me about him the other night. I'm just not going to go there on this podcast. But I do miss PETA. PETA people, they're crazy, but they at least they're funny. They will have a back and forth with you, and they will actually try to win the argument with you in a respectful way, which is pretty cool because most people on that side, they just want you dead. I mean, they don't want to actually have a dialogue with you. So I kind of respect the PETA Twitter people. They're pretty cool.
And, I do have to say shout to Vol Twitter and most of Vol Twitter because you can't – it's comforting. That's why I prefer it to message boards. Like, you can actually have somewhat of an adult conversation, and you can kind of get heated and go back and forth. But at the end of the day, you're both Tennessee fans. It's not that big of a deal, but you kind of venture off into the periphery, and that's where I think you get into trouble. I think if you just stayed in your little gated Tennessee community, the Popcorn Suttons, the Seth Hugheses of the world, guys that are just rock solid people, and are going to treat you like the superstar that you are. If you venture off too far, people don't know of your legend, and that's where you get yourself in trouble. You told me 2 weeks ago that you would come back to Twitter with a win over Kentucky. And you know that, our slogan together is loyalty is everything. And,
right.
Again, is it maybe it's time for a rebrand. Maybe no Trent Flubs.
Yeah, but if I do that, then how will anybody know who I am when I come back? It would be just like following Popcorn Sutton or one of those guys.
I have 87,000 followers on Twitter, minus 80,000. I have a fair amount. I'll retweet you a few times. I mean, but you're right. You're connected with the guys, the Popcorn Sutton. They'll get your follower count back up. And I know how much follower count means to you. I know you check that a few times a day, and you like to see where your star status is. But I think we can build that up pretty quick.
I'm going to go right now. And I'm going to try to see. I think I'm a day too late to save that account. I'm going to try to save it. I'm going, when we get off this podcast, I'm going to try to save it just to have it in my back pocket when I need it. Political season, I mean, Rubio and Cruz. Cruz is taking shots at Rubio now.
Cruz is too ugly to be president.
He's ugly, man. He is very ugly, but we have to look past that. I happen to think
it's hard, dude. It's hard. He's very unfortunate looking. But you're right. If you're a Republican, that's your guy.
Right. That's my guy.
If you're a tried and true Republican. I do think Rubio's going to make a charge. I think Trump's got a really good shot. Trump is just hilarious. People get so mad at him, but like, but come on. I mean, the guy's, I mean, he's funny.
You see him going after Hillary Clinton's hair now, talking about how it's a wig.
What other presidential candidate in the history of our lives is going to get on a social networking platform and either A, accuse somebody of having a wig, and then he calls, like, reporters dummies on Twitter. And he, like, calls, like, He calls them dummies. Why wouldn't you want that guy as your president? No, in all seriousness, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter who the president is. Republicans control everything else. It's our show, baby. It's our show.
It is. That's true. True.
So let's just get Trump in there. Let's get a funny figurehead out there that's going to, I mean, it's going to entertain us. It's all about entertainment at the end of the day. Anyway, Flubs, do you have anything else? I really want to play video games, and I got to get back to it. I got to get back to these good-ass tweets.
No, we did a pretty good job this week. This is kind of a throwaway podcast other than Coach Kendall, who's great. You know, we've got North Texas coming. What we have to talk about, you know? Come on.
I don't care. Yeah, I mean, we're going to 7-8 to 16 is my prediction. And then let's get back next Thursday. We'll talk – please just watch a basketball game.
One thing, Jerry. How dumb is that wooden tee that we're going to start running out through? What the hell is that about? That looks idiotic.
I understand. And listen, now, to the fives of tens of listeners out there who may not know Trent Flip, Trent doesn't recognize the historical significance of running through that, as he's probably never been to a basketball game in his life in Knoxville. That's something that we used to do ages ago, back when you were playing at the field like a madman on campus. So he's just trying to bring back a little bit of tradition. I read that as I'm going to try to buy some time for having a very bad basketball team this year and hopefully on next year.
We also used to stick leeches on people to pull the bad blood out of them. But, I mean, come on.
That's a fair point. And also, but we're not actually running through the woods, by the way. It opens. So it's not going to hurt anybody. Trent, go fast.
Right.
Get on Twitter.
Right.
Fake Rob Lewis, we're out of here next Thursday. Let's ride.
The coolest DJ in the world.
I've been hard, but the next day I get it. Yeah, rich now. Rich motherfucker. When you wake up before you brush your teeth, you grab your scraps, nigga. All the time you get down on your knees, you don't crowd, nigga. Fuck what you heard, God blessin' all the trout, nigga. God blessin' all the trout, nigga. When you wake up before you brush your teeth, you grab your scraps, nigga. All the time you get down on your knees, you don't crowd, nigga. Fuck what you heard, God blessin' all the trout, nigga. God blessin' all the trout, nigga.
Wait 1,008 grams on the square. Got a lowercase T across my chest. Your crack house doing numbers, then you blessed. You move your mama to a crib from the jet. It's so much I can holler kush on my bro. Praying 5 times a day to catch the floor. A few bean pies stashed in the truck. Two dice out there, filter. You loaded on the top of shit, you gone bust. Told yourself a million times, you don't give a fuck. Sold over a million dimes hanging in the cut. Sold over a million dimes, don't give a fuck.
When you wake up before you brush your teeth, you grab your scraps, nigga. All the time you get down on your knees, you don't crowd, nigga. Fuck what you heard, God blessing all the trout, nigga. God blessing all the trout, nigga. When you wake up before you brush your teeth, you grab your scraps, nigga. All the time you get down on your knees, you don't crowd, nigga. Fuck what you heard, God blessing all the trout, nigga. God blessing all the trout, nigga.
I thought Lala, we gon' wake up with that Glock on Kato. That's the dope inside of when the bagel in the Kato. You got your work, you posted up in the hood bodega. No more than low, none of y'all before we brush your teeth. Gotta roll this backwood up while it